You're with SBS Radio.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Wadamooli and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee Harding and it's that time of the week again where we get to yarn all things science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and journalist Ray Johnston. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Thanks for having me, sis.
Lovely to have you back again. Now, first cab off the rank today, you're going to tell us a story about Aussies and Kiwis swarmed to online mental health courses in the early pandemic. Is this right, sis?
Yeah, that's right. So the use of two online mental health programs, so This Way Out in Australia and also Just a Thought, it's called, in New Zealand, they absolutely skyrocketed in the first few months of the pandemic. So in the 3 months before the pandemic, about 2,800 people registered for a This Way Out course and about 1,900 for a Just a Thought course. And those numbers jumped to 21,800 and 5,400 during the first 3 months of the COVID pandemic.
Wow.
And researchers, they say that this shows just how adaptable online mental health courses can be, particularly when there's a really high demand. And also when there's limited access to therapists, you know, it can be hard to find a therapist and it can be hard to find the right one for you.
Yeah.
And it can still be really expensive even after Medicare rebates. So more and more people are turning to these online, you know, mental health courses as a result, and they're proving really effective for people and just kind of filling that gap between being able to see a professional and speak to them personally about your issues and not doing anything at all, you know, because there needed to be something in the middle, and it turns out these kind of courses are filling that gap.
And as you mentioned, their services can be very expensive to access. So I can understand why people are turning to online resources, sis.
Yeah, for sure. It can be really expensive, you know, and obviously there's been, with COVID, there's been an extension of mental health care plans in Australia in particular. So you can get 10 extra visits to see a therapist for mental health, but that can burn out really quickly. And even then, you know, with the rebate that you get, out of pocket expenses can still be pretty high. And, you know, for some people, even, you know, 20, 40, 60 bucks is, it makes it impossible to see someone. That's just not in the budget. So having resources available that are reliable and can just help in any small way is really necessary, I think.
So those mental health courses, I'll just repeat them if I'm right, This Way Up and Just a Thought. Is that right, sis?
That's right. It's This Way Up locally in Australia, and if you're across the ditch, it's Just a Thought in New Zealand.
Too deadly indeed. Thanks so much for that very vital, up-to-date information. We're all experiencing tough times during this pandemic, sis, so it's good to get some news that people are accessing services online. Now we go to talking about a not-so-good news story. Apparently, Aussie stillbirth and cancer rates are higher among Aboriginal people living near the Ranger uranium mine in the Northern Territory, sis. Not good news at all.
No, this is a really sad story. I must, you know, preface that this can be quite distressing to hear about, so it's okay if you need to turn the radio off or skip forward on the podcast a little bit for this. But in 2014, it was the Northern Territory Chief Health Officer. They commissioned an investigation into stillbirth and cancer rates in long-term Aboriginal residents around the Ranger uranium mine. And this investigation, it looked specifically at stillbirth and cancer rates and also looked at any kind of exposures that might have contributed to them. And the focus was on the radiation, because this exposure was considered the worst case scenario out of this mine, that, you know, radiation would leak and impact the health of people. Now, the mine didn't employ many local Aboriginal people, so on-the-job exposure wasn't looked at in this investigation. And the investigation did show a higher stillbirth and cancer rate among Aboriginal people living near that Ranger mine compared with other Aboriginal people in the Top End. And stillbirth was over twice as common, and cancer was about 50% more common. But the final report of the investigation, it didn't point at the mine as the cause of this. It pointed to other risk factors, so higher rates of tobacco smoking and alcohol use and poor diets. They were highlighted in relation to these excess stillbirths and cancers. And the investigation, it concluded by recommending that Aboriginal people there follow advice about smoking and alcohol and diet. And I don't know about you, Sis, but I find this really quite offensive for this report to turn around and say these when they know that there were factors directly relating to the mine that have caused this. And, you know, the Northern Territory Department of Health investigation, it was designed to consider the impact of uranium mining on Aboriginal lands and people. And this investigation was recommended when the mine was proposed and it was developed. So this investigation had to go ahead regardless of if there were impacts. And with the Ranger mine in particular, the Aboriginal people's rights were ignored and their expertise and authority and lifeways were devalued by this mine. And this investigation, don't get me wrong, it was transparent and it's detailed and it's publicly available, but there needed to be stronger Aboriginal contribution to the investigation. And it needed to have research from Aboriginal community perspectives that can focus on improving the health and well-being of people in this area. That's crucial for this kind of work. Now, the mine is now closed and it's undergoing rehabilitation, and I would hate to see this report just be the end of this. When you're looking at, you know, twice the rate of stillbirths and 50% more cancer rates just because these people are near this mine, there has to be something else going on. And it's really disappointing that this report didn't highlight the mine as the cause of these really serious health issues.
Now we go from talking about that uranium mine that was in use in the Northern Territory to talking about the ocean, and sea turtles are eating our plastic pollution at an alarming rate, Sis. Is this right?
Yeah, this one's sad as well. I'm sorry, Sis.
Oh, no.
Researchers from James Cook University, they looked into this one and they highlighted what they call an evolutionary trap that plastic pollution has created for baby turtles. Now, these baby turtles, they've adapted to enter the oceanic zone or shallow coastal waters, which is where they eat. And normally these habitats are great and ideal for their environment, but the plastic debris mixed in with their natural food items, it's made the environments really risky. Plastics now make up 80% of all marine debris, and they can be found everywhere, on the surface, down in the deep sea, they're everywhere. And eating and getting tangled in plastic, it can cause suffocation, it can cause intestinal blockages and lead to malnutrition and chemical contamination. And this is happening to every single marine turtle species. Mm. And those small juvenile turtles, they're thought to be at most risk because at this life stage, they're more prone to getting tangled up and eating the plastic because of their feeding preferences, where they like to eat, what they like to eat. Mm. And because those oceanic zones that they live in, they overlap with the areas of high plastic pollution. Now, as a part of this research, they found a turtle in the Indian Ocean that had 343 pieces of plastic inside it, and another in the Pacific Ocean that had 144. And plastic in the Pacific turtles that they found was mostly hard fragments, which could come from, you know, almost anything that we're using. And Indian Ocean plastics were mostly fibres, so from fishing ropes and nets mostly. Mm. And most of the plastics that are eaten by the turtles in both oceans are polyurethane and polypropylene. And these are so widely used in plastic products around the world that it's impossible to pin down where they're coming from and what the likely sources are. So limiting plastic overall, not only as individuals, which we all try to do, I know, but from businesses and corporations and the creators of these huge, vast amounts of waste. We need to limit this as soon as possible if we're going to protect our turtles into the future.
And it absolutely does sound like our little turtles do need protecting, ACES.
They sure do. And yet, there's a lot of work happening all around the world to protect our turtles, and they're a really important part of the ecosystem. And some things are working, and other things, like stopping them from eating plastic, just feel really impossible right now until we bring the amount of pollution down in our oceans.
Now we go to our next story on our science and technology segment, Sis. And apparently data from kids exposed to the Hazelwood coal fire actually shows a link between lung and blood vessel health. Are you going to tell me another sad story here, Sis?
Actually, I'm not going to tell you another sad story. I'm going to tell you a story about how looking into one thing can help you discover other things that we just didn't know about.
Okay.
So it does start with a bit of a sad one. So there were kids exposed to the Hazelwood coal fire back in 2014, and they're having their health monitored in the Hazelwood Health Study, it's called. And the data that's coming out of this study is showing that there's a clear link between kids' lung health and the health of their blood vessels. Now, we know in adults that there's a link between how well our lungs work and lung function and how well our heart works and heart dysfunction. But it hasn't been clear if that same link exists in kids. Now, the researchers found a link between poorer lung function in kids and stiffer blood vessels. So exposure to smoke particles, they actually didn't have any effects on this link at all. So this is something that's actually established early in life. And the researchers say that the data that's coming out of this study said that that link is, you know, driven by the impact that stiffer blood vessels have on the mechanics of the lung. So it works the other way around. It's not the lung that makes the blood vessels stiffer. It's the blood vessels that dictate how the lung is going to work. So it's kind of reversed how we think about these things and how we think about how the body works. But some good news that's coming out of that to say that, you know, when it comes to this particular link, the smoke didn't have an effect on the kids in this way. And there will be more findings to come out of this study, and we're going to learn more about the human body and how it works as a result. So hopefully some more interesting news, and hopefully some good news as well, can come out of it.
Gotta love that one to end our science and technology segment for this week. Ray Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and STEM journalist, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the program as always. Thank you so much, Sis.
Always good to be here, Sis. Thanks for helping me break down the weeks in lockdown. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.